Yo.
Hey. Can you hear me?
You listening to Hashtag WAW. What a week. What a week.
Week. Our celebrity guest is in the building. He's become famous for playing a defiant icon on screen, and this on top of playing a number of diverse roles in his career. His family would say that's quite apt, since he's also been a bit of a rebellious spirit since a young age, so we're told. Please give a wow welcome to Mr. Who Says You Have to Be a Zulu to Play a Legend. Make some noise for Lemogang Tsipa.
Yebo.
Lemza.
Yes, sir.
What's up, my dude?
Ngiyaphila. How are you, sir?
Hold on. So you, where were you born? Let's just start there.
I was born in Pangeni.
You're born in Pangeni?
Yes.
Okay, so you're Zulu through and through.
Yes. It's the most sort of African experience I know. All my friends from back home, you know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, you have a non-Zulu name.
Yes. It's because both my parents are not.
So where are your folks from?
My dad is from this side. Both of my parents are from this side.
Yes, sir.
The Gauteng side.
Sure.
My dad grew up in Mamelodi.
Sure.
And my mother grew up, I think, in the East Rand, like Springside.
So how do they end up in Pangeni?
They both went to study at the University of Zululand.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. And pursuing then, their studies further. And then they met.
Love happened.
You know, university.
And they're like, where must we leave?
You know. Unfortunately, I think through the program, my dad found a job early, and he was kind of the person, I think, pressuring them to move back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So did you ever think it would be used against you that your surname might not be Zulu, but you were raised Zulu, Mus?
Yeah, that was the first thought, because I understand, you know, how big the king is. I mean, also growing up there, I understand how much people revere, such a character. So I knew it was going to come with a bit of backlash, but, you know, I was ready for it.
So you are told, okay, you have gotten the role. You are going to play King Shaka.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you're thinking as you're told that?
Well, you first don't believe it.
Yeah.
You're just like, okay. Because, I mean, sometimes we do so many auditions and go through the process so much. Sometimes it does feel like a dream, you know, when you get that call.
Yes.
Because
it's usually
early in the morning. It's the thing that wakes you up. But, you know, I was very stoked and proud, because, I mean, it's a great moment for me to rep my hometown and an iconic hero that's from very close to where I grew up.
Yeah. And then, obviously, then people say, yeah, but Lemogang is not a Zulu name. So how are you feeling as there's this commotion around you?
I mean, there's mixed emotions, but I mean, generally, I'm quite a secure person.
Yes.
I do understand that even taking myself to the audition, I'll never audition for something I don't feel capable of doing.
Absolutely.
So I felt that I'm able to do it, and if they could also see that, it's just noise, the rest of it.
So you weren't worried, because you knew that, listen, I'm the best man for this job.
Yeah, definitely. I was never worried. I mean, the only time I was a little bit worried was at the audition, seeing all the other potential Shakas, because if I was doing my one, I'd have cast each and every single one of the guys at the callback. They all had the look, they had the part, really great actors. But yeah, it fell on my lap, and it's my responsibility.
When you do an audition,
yeah.
Do you prefer a self-tape where you tape yourself and you send it in? Mm. Or do you want to see who you're up against and show up at the room?
I prefer showing up in the room, seeing up who I'm up against, because there's times where it's both encouraging and discouraging.
Yes.
I mean, if you see the big hitters arriving in the rooms, you know, your Tembinkosis, your wise mans, etc., then you know that you're in the right rooms as well. Because there's other auditions where, you know, they're a little bit dodgy.
Yeah.
When you look at the room around, you don't really feel that presence and that weight. So I prefer that. And as well, another positive with it, you get a lot of direction from.
It helps when someone's reading for you.
Yeah. As opposed to just your imagination.
Because
I could do it by myself, but sometimes you could steer it in the wrong direction with the right intention.
Yes. I'm proud to say my lady has gotten a couple of roles with me reading for her during a self-tape.
Yes.
So if ever you need someone to read for you during a self-tape, you must call me.
Trust and believe.
Because clearly I do something right.
Yeah. Let's go all the way to Hollywood.
Now, you're a child, you're 9 years old, and you are diagnosed with ADHD.
Yes.
What kind of modern-day parents do you have that have you tested? Because when I was a child, you were just told you're disruptive, you had a problem.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of the parents I had and the schools I went to. Both my parents were academics.
Oh, yeah.
My dad was a physicist. My mother, still to this day, is pursuing her studies.
So when are you getting a real job?
And yo, it's tough. It's tough. I must still, there's a few after season 5 of Shaga, then.
Yeah, then maybe.
Then yeah, I'll consider. But
yeah.
My parents were very, very academic, very strict. But I think I was also, because they were such smart people and they always knew that I was an intelligent child because I was very curious, always asking questions above my kind of grades and, you know. So it was when I was not performing, you know, to the level of my capacity in school. And that was just simply because I was just, my energy was not. I couldn't sit still. I couldn't focus on one thing. So they realized, they took me to these things, and then they took me to a remedial school, which was focused on kids with special needs of different like varieties. But that's where I kind of learned the skill of having to compartmentalize thoughts. And
oh, yes, 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 yes. So going to a remedial school worked for you then?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sitting here right now.
because often, I mean, I remember even when I was in primary school, we had a remedial class. But because we're kids and we're dumb, you know, we'd always say the kids in the remedial class are the kids that can't keep up, or le tom, or, you know, you become unkind.
Yeah.
And that's what kids do.
Yeah.
The only reason I wanted to be in the remedial class was because the teacher was hot.
Yeah. Sounds about right. We had a few good teachers as well.
So that's the only reason I wanted to be in remedial class. But for a lot of kids, because you don't get it, we start being unkind to the kids at remedial, for instance.
Yeah, no, it was true. But fortunately for me, I think the whole school was that. So
yes.
We never really got that kind of
you didn't have to deal with
and
that.
Yeah, our school kind of worked closely with real special needs school, because most of our kids was just normal ADHDs and you know, the dyslexia here and nothing super extreme. But then the other school was like, you know, people with a bit severer things, and they'd come to the school, and then we saw those kids, but we all played, we were kids, there wasn't a lot of bullying or anything.
Yeah, children are children.
Yeah, in environments at least primary school.
So your parents are you know, the academics, the highly educated, that driven, and then when are you going to be an actor?
Yeah.
When did they realize that we've lost him?
So it was a very, very tough time. I think I matriculated 2008.
Yes, sir.
And 2009, I was planning on going overseas to do like an exchange program. But that was the year I think the recession hit. So the program that I was going to go with closed. So I had a year to kind of figure out what I'm going to do. Got the odd job here and there. Worked for my dad, went back to my old school, bunch of different things. So the next year comes time for me to study. My older sister, because I'm the middle child, I got a sister above me and one below.
Yeah.
My older sister had just been ducks of her school, Le Pepe and all A's, studying actuarial sciences at University of Cape Town. And then I'm like, you know, but I kind of leveraged my rebellious phase and, you know, character with that year, and told my mother in that year, because it was a stage where I just kind of sat on the couch at home, and I told her, if I don't study what I want, this is going to be, I'm going to be that guy at home.
Jeez.
Till I'm 40. And they quickly, they were like
I'm not threatening y'all, but...
And I kind of used a little bit, because she had always wanted to, which is the reason why she's still studying till this day. She'd always wanted to become a doctor.
Sure.
And at the time, circumstances, you know, didn't allow her to pursue her dream. So I kind of manipulated her and said, "Mom, what about me? You know, you want me?" And she, you know, fortunately, they heeded it and gave me the opportunity to study.
Okay, as in to go study the arts.
To study the arts further, yes, yes. After
versus being an academic like them.
Yeah, no, it was.
So you know, you talk about how you were a rebel as a child. How bad were you? When it was bad, how bad was it?
Yeah, I never did illegal things.
Yeah.
But I got a lot of hidings.
Sure.
Just
okay. So you're a normal African child.
Yeah. I think it's because I was the only boy at home, so my behavior compared to the girls was extreme. They were like, "Oh, these other children are fine."
Because it becomes chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
Because you will climb that tree.
Yeah. So always my uniform would be dirty or torn at break. We're playing rugby. I don't have buttons. My mom's like, "Why? Everybody's uniforms are fine. Are you fighting at school?" And I had a case when I was in pre-primary school. I don't know why, but I was a bit of a little bully, so I think I carried that energy a bit, like with a bit of aggression and all that stuff. But yeah, it's behind me now.
Your first role, was it while you were at AFDA or after you'd graduated?
Yeah, no, it was definitely while I was at AFDA in the third year. I remember my lecturer telling us that or advising against, you know, working while, because a lot of people, if you, obviously the opportunity is there, this is what you want to do, they leave. So, yeah, I remember, I think I did a stint on a film called Felix, done by Penguin Films. I had like a small scene and one line, but I was inside. I felt like, okay, I'm inside.
No, your toe is in now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it was a really great feeling to still be studying and begin doing that. And then I got a bit of momentum in that year. Towards the end of the year, I booked my first commercial, which helped me. When I got cut off, survive.
When you got cut off, how?
It was the last day of AFTA. My dad called me, and AFTA is not the cheapest of schools.
No, AFTA is not.
So he was like, my boy, you want this acting thing? I'm done. I've paid. Let's go. Let's see. So,
as soon as you were done at AFTA,
literally my last day,
your dad washed his hands.
Yeah, he said I've educated you.
Go away.
Which he had. So it was a fair point. I went and printed CVs that day, and I got a waitering job, I think, the next week, just to make sure that, you know, I can at least eat and balance. And then that commercial money kind of paid the
You know what's wild about you talking about CVs?
Yeah.
So when I started at YFM 97, you were probably one or two.
Yes. Yeah. I wasn't able to tune in at the time. Yeah.
I did my CV, applied for my job at YFM, and I got a job. Mm. So I'm busy on a project right now, and they asked me for a CV. Mm. I haven't done a CV since 97.
Yeah. That's what I like about our game. You know, a lot of it.
Often your work speaks for itself.
Yeah. You don't have to write it on papers. People will see it. And
so I'm stuck. So I must do a CV. Where do I start? So I went to Google how to make a CV.
Yeah.
So now I've got a CV.
ChatGPT as well. And I mean, you've definitely been in the game enough for ChatGPT to have the info on you.
No, shame. She spits it out. Yeah. No, she spits it out, and she spits more than I want.
Yeah.
At least she spits.
Trust.
So you then are on your own.
Yes, sir.
Did you ever want to turn back and say, fuck, maybe I shouldn't have taken this?
There were definitely moments where of doubt, because, I mean, it's not an easy game to navigate. And I always liken it to like being Tarzan and swinging from vine to vine. Sometimes you let go of a vine, you don't know, your eyes are closed.
There's no vine.
You're hoping. And as you plummet and almost touch the ground, you grab another one and swing. That momentum takes you even higher. So,
yes.
I mean, there's been a lot of challenges over the years. There's been times where, you know, things have been financially strenuous. But fortunately, I've never been at a point where I haven't been able to sustain myself or have to literally switch to something else. So I've always had something industry related that kind of pulls in and sweeps
the day. So the talent and the gods always show up at some stage.
Yeah, for sure. And also I think a bit of the inner drive. I'm looking at this card, reminds me of a little side job we used to have with my friend over here who came with me.
Yeah.
Uliz. We used to work sound for this lady who used to pay us, I think it was like $200 or $300, like a session, and we'd come and connect sound and like all these. But we'd fetch the dodgiest baki. I'm telling you, Fresh, it was wild. Like the door didn't open. We had to enter through the windows.
Oh, wow.
It's the you know, when the wheel alignment's off and it's driving on an angle like this. So we did a bunch of things to survive. But I mean, it was all of those things to just keep us in the spaces and, you know, interested in this.
Tell us about working on The Dark Tower.
Ooh, that was a crazy moment.
That's what I'm asking you about it.
Yeah, The Dark Tower. So it has a precursor story and then the story to the thing.
Okay.
The precursor story started when we were in varsity in third year. One of the lecturers at school got an opportunity to cast extras for Long Walk to Freedom.
Yeah.
And so obviously she came to me because I was a very energetic kid.
Mm. The HDHD was on steroids.
Yeah. And it worked in art school to my benefit. So they're like, yeah, you're the perfect kid for this thing. So, I pull up to this thing and it's Long Walk and Idris Elba's there, whatever. So I'm literally an extra in the back. So imagine a setup like this park.
So is there a scene where we can pause and zoom in and we'll see you?
No.
So I don't even see you.
I'm trying to explain the context. So you see how we're shooting here. So pretend we're Idris Elba. We're behind the scenes there. I was an extra because it was a scene where he was shooting a newscasting scene, and I was one of the crew. They made me a cable bash. I was just happy to be in the room and watch him perform. But I remember...
Is your name in the credits?
Nothing.
Fuck.
So at the end of that move, at the end of his scene, he's like getting escorted by his, you know, I don't know if it was a bodyguard or some other guy who's also big like him. He's taking him out the room. And I just jump in between that guy. And I hold his hand. I'm like, my brother, in the next 4 or 5 years, me and you are going to work on something together.
Shut up.
So Dark Tower was that moment.
So Idris Elba says what to you as you...
He's shocked, but he's also like, I mean, it's obviously a safe environment. I wasn't coming there with like a gun.
You're not an assassin or anything.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm shaking his hand and he just kind of gets this look at me and he's like, okay, I'll see you on set, you know, kind of in a weird way.
So that's 5 years before Dark Tower.
And then Dark Tower happens. And then I remember at least there now, I've got a speaking part, you know, I get to hang out with him at lunch and stuff.
Did you remind him?
I did. And he remembered me. And I was like, oh, man. And the crazy thing is that same year, I got an agent in the UK, which happens to be the same agent as him.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was a really crazy full circle moment.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So the gods keep showing up.
No, they do. They do. And they keep blessing and we're receiving all of them.
So when you work on a show like The Dark Tower, you know, star-studded... It's a proper production.
Mm-mm.
What do you take from such an environment?
I think you just learn what's possible with scale and budget. There was a scene we had to do. There was about 5 big South African actors, Mary Twalas, your Warren Masemulas, etc., who were doing this thing. And it's a scene outside. It was raining that day. And in my mind, usually rain days are paydays because it's like you got to cancel. You know, we're here. We already came to work. It's a free payday. No. They brought a cherry picker, which is like this crane that has this screen that covered a set that's bigger than the square behind us.
Oh, wow.
Just an umbrella. And I'm like,
yeah, because they can afford it.
And then the sound, they're like, don't worry about sound, we'll ADR everything. I'm like, man, this is so wild. You know, it was the first time, you know, experiencing such a thing. Because I'd worked on a few local productions at the time, but nothing of this magnitude. So it was
so budget can fix a lot of things.
You can, there's no excuses. Once you have budget, you can do almost anything anywhere.
We will build a ship and we'll sink it.
At the Titanic in real life, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was an amazing experience and a very humbling experience to see and learn that. So, you know,
I became a fan of your work when I watched Beyond the River.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Because I was like, who the hell is this kid?
Yeah,
this kid kicks ass.
Thank you.
Take us through Beyond the River for those that haven't watched it.
Yeah.
Please watch Beyond the River.
Yes, Beyond the River is one of the most inspiring South African stories.
Yeah.
It's based off a true story of the first black and white guy to partner up and win a gold medal in the Doozy Canoe Marathon, which is like the Comrades of canoeing.
Yes.
It's a very, very tough thing. Mm-hmm.
How much of it did you do?
Oh, it felt like we did the real thing. It felt like we did the real thing because we shot over about 5-6 weeks, and then the actual race footage we had to do in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, but it's every day. There was a day, I don't want to lie, I woke up at 4 or 5, went to set at about 6. Yeah. All I did from 6 to 6 was run behind the car.
Yo.
The whole day, and then the next day it's canoeing. So it literally felt, I didn't have a Fitbit or anything, but I think we probably did the equivalent of that marathon.
Please next time take my Fitbit if you're going to be doing running and canoeing.
Yeah.
A lot of people think he looks good in Shaka Ilembe. That physique is from the canoeing, guys.
Trust me. And Beyond the River, that was the fittest. Can I tell you, like, in the preparation of that thing, that was one of the most challenging, if not the most challenging, preparation things I've had to do for a film. We had to learn how to canoe. Now, canoeing looks easy. It looks like you're just sitting in a boat. It's like learning how to ride a bike. The whole balancing, holding your core, it's a completely different.
And remembering to stay holding.
And then after you've learned on flat water, then you go to those rivers.
Then there's the rapids.
It's not the same.
It's a rock.
You know what I mean? So we were doing about 3 hours of training a day. So we really, really got into great shape doing that.
How important is discipline in what you do? Because often... You know, we look at actors and say, oh, wow, they did all of that to prepare for this little role.
Mm.
But to get there is a lot of work.
Mm.
And there are days you wake up and you don't want to get fit.
Yeah. Discipline's everything, man. It's the fundamental, I think, of our game. Number one, a lot of what we do is very aesthetically driven.
Mm.
So once you've got that discipline in place and you've kind of locked in what you want to look like. I'm not saying everybody has to look like, you know, Vin Diesel or whatever.
Sure.
We all have to look like, you know, regular human beings. But once you find your vibe and your niche, your discipline will help you maintain that, which will keep you hireable, you know. South Africa is not as free as America, where like they do that whole crazy body transformation thing. Sure, 1 week, sure. You're dedicated, yeah, yeah. Now you're marvelous. Mm. We're not really big on that. So if you maintain a really good aesthetic, that keeps you hireable.
And surely because it's a small industry in the bigger scheme of industries, that you have the discipline is the difference between whether you can make it to Hollywood or not.
Yes, yes.
Because at some stage, the call will come.
Yeah.
And are you that guy that we can count on to transform if we need you to transform?
Yeah.
You know, are you that guy that we know runs his lines and is ready?
Mm-mm. And also the market is so, like, the world is so small now, man.
Yeah.
And everything's being watched by everybody. I remember some South African productions, I think it was Queen Sono, Taraji P was losing her mind over Pearl Tosi's performance, I think it was. But I don't know. But there's a lot of, you know, basically we're interconnected across the world now. So the biggest directors from Japan to Hollywood to wherever can watch your work. And a lot of it, a lot of what we do, you can't really hide behind.
Absolutely.
You know,
have you had any people, you know, fanboy or fangirl over your work and you're like, oh shit, okay, you're watching?
Kind of, but I kind of forget it. I don't know. I'm very weird about that stuff. I don't like that kind of attention. I mean, it comes with what I do, but I don't really try to feed into it. But I have had moments where, you know, some greats. I think there was a time we did a play at the Market Theater and Silo Makeka Ncube pulled up and yeah, he was very impressed with what we're doing. And I was like, you're a legend.
Yeah,
there's been a few moments like that through the career. But I'm very grateful and blessed for
those. How important is it to not forget the stage?
Oh, the stage, I think, is the fundamental. It's kind of where we exercise the muscle of acting. A lot of time on screen, a lot of it is a lot more technical and nuanced. So you don't really get to sometimes get into the depth, but it depends on the style of the writing, the piece. There are some screen pieces that are very challenging as well.
Sure.
But I think, yeah, theater is definitely one of the fundamentals of what we do. I mean, what we do is birthed from theater.
Sure.
Before cameras and stuff came out, that's how acting existed, was on stage. So and it's not going anywhere. So I think absolutely. It's important for every actor to visit it once in a while.
Before we talk, Shaga.
Yeah.
May I just please indulge me? I need to make a phone call quickly.
Okay.
She's one of my favorite Zulu girls, actually. We're calling Brenda Mtambo, one of the hottest voices on the continent. Not only to show off that I have her on speed dial, but also because she has a show coming up.
Oh, fire.
Why is she not answering the phone? Hello, Brenda.
Hi.
I was like, why are you not answering the phone? What's going on? Like, are you blue?
I was answering. It just rang once.
So our guest in studio today played your king in Shaga Ilembe. We're hanging out with Lebogang Tsipa.
Sawubona, Brenda.
Hello, Lebogang. Unjani?
Ngiyaphila, unjani sis?
Ngiyaphila, kufana nokuhlala.
Yeah. So because you don't have the king on speed dial, I figured Lebogang might be able to.
You figured. Let me sort you out. Girl.
Exactly, Brenda. You've got a show. You've got a show coming up, and we'd like to buy tickets for our viewers. If you'd like to go to Brenda's show on the 2nd of September, please just put your name in the comments. That Brenda tickets, please. But also, please subscribe. If you've subscribed, you stand a chance of winning tickets. Where is the show happening, Brenda?
The show is happening at Gore Reef City Lyric Theatre. On the 2nd of September.
Okay.
It's a decade experience. So it's a beautiful big production. I actually took your advice, Fresh. I He said, Brenda, do it big. I'm doing it big. So, doing that.
So you listened to me?
I did. Remember, I sat down with you on that chair.
No, I remember.
And then you at back.
Yes. Because I remember even after the show we attended in Santon, I said to you, no, Brenda, no.
Yes, you did.
No,
you did.
Like, we need bigger shows.
Yes, this one is a bigger show, big production. It's in a big auditorium. It's beautiful. We're putting all the subs for you guys to come and enjoy the show. It's going to be super amazing. I have an 8-piece band with a brass section. It's really going to be beautiful. I don't like to blow my own horn so much, but really I'm putting together something really incredible.
The reason we have a brass section is so that we don't blow our own horns.
Well,
Brenda, where do we buy tickets?
The tickets are available at Web Tickets or Pick and Pay. Alternatively, you can book them through my office, info@brendamdambo.co.za. Mm-hmm. But it's easier to just book them on Web Tickets or Pick and Pay.
Okay, so I'd like to support your business, Brenda. I'm going to buy 10 tickets for 5 of our subscribers. So please subscribe and just put Brenda tickets, please, in the comment section. 5 of you will get a double ticket to watch Brenda live in concert. Please. Lyric Theatre, 2nd of September. It's going to be an incredible show. She's a great voice. She's got a gift that you need to experience in person. So please, let's support Brenda and let's pack out the Lyric Theatre. Brenda, we love you and we'll see you on the 2nd of September.
I love you guys. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for supporting our business. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for being a good friend and a brother. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Love you, Brenda. That is Brenda Mdambo. So you're on set of Shaka Ilembe.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about day one, because it's a massive production.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Day one was the most chill day for me.
Yeah.
I was coming in. I think they started shooting a bunch of other story stuff. So all I had to do was come in, put on my costume, come to set and say hi to people. So it was beautiful, but it was a crazy experience.
Did you have to be in character as you walked in? As in, were people bowing as you're walking?
A few people did, but for me, it's still a weird thing. I think this is one of the first characters that has drawn quite a massive response from people. So I think, it's a strange thing, but a few people do. Even in the building where I live, the concierge at the door every time, when I went over, and they bow. But you know, I'm trying to get used to it. But I guess it's...
So what do you say, my head, a dog?
Yeah, I gotta find a response. Yeah.
So you're on set, you're busy shooting, and then the Zulu King shows up on set.
Ooh, that was a crazy...
Like, come on, dog.
That day was the if I can speak about it now because it aired this past week. That was the day after we shot the scene where Kendiyanya dies.
Sure.
So me and Umtu are covered in blood.
Sure.
Like fake blood, and it's sunset. The king just arrived. He's also running on a tight schedule because he's a king. He's got, you know...
King stuff to do.
So now we're trying to wrap up this side and catch the golden hour, but it was very cloudy and extremely cold.
Yeah.
So the clouds are one of the key things in the show. I'm not sure if a lot of people have noticed, is the backlight. So we're trying to like always have it backlit, but because of the clouds, the sun was gone. So we're just covered in blood, waiting for the sun to come out.
Jeez.
Eventually, it does come out. We get the shot, then we rush over to the king's side. The only thing to wash, because literally we don't have resources. We're in the middle of the bush. They want to put a shower there, but they can't build a shower every time. We must move from this hill to that hill. So we had a bucket with water that was warmed 30 minutes ago that traveled on a gravel road because that's where the generator. So we had to kind of bucket wash ourselves and then meet the king. So we fortunately got to...
When did you find out that the king is there? Was it before the scene or during the scene?
So we were told in the morning that that's the day the king would
arrive.
Oh, so
you knew the king.
And then we're going to wrap early and, you know, meet him. But then the guard worked against us with the sun and made, you know, that scene. But it turned out extremely beautiful. I mean, I saw a few reactions on Twitter with that scene. Actually, not a few. A lot of people were very sad.
Yeah, this scene from this past Sunday.
Yeah.
No, just for the record, I haven't started watching it.
Ooh,
because I want to watch the whole series in one sitting.
Yes.
I can't wait a week.
Yes.
Don't make me wait a week for anything.
And that show, trust me, that's one of the first complaints of people because it's so good.
Sure.
A lot of people are like, man, why are you guys not dropping 2 eps a Sunday?
Something. Do a double header.
Yeah, no, but soon it will be.
So you meet the king. What did you guys talk about? if at all.
We never really got to have a chat. It was more of just like an introduction. This is the guy that's going to be doing the thing. And then the praise singers kind of came through. And it was more of a kind of a prayer to the ancestors and asking for a blessing. But we haven't really had a sit down yet to chat. The other actors did have a chance because while I was covered in blood, he was there and they were not covered in blood.
Oh, yes.
And got a chance. And Dan Duzondi got to chill with him. And
was it not wild, though, that you are playing his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather?
Yes.
Like, I'm meeting him.
Yeah, yeah. No,
that's wild.
It's a crazy experience. I think it was the second kind of time that happened to me. The first time I was on Beyond the River because the guy who was playing was still alive.
Oh, yes.
It's like, dude, this is, I'm supposed to be
you. Yeah, yeah.
So this was kind of connected to that, but obviously on a different scale because he represents so much and it's also not just anybody's grandfather. It's a king's grandfather.
Yes, yes.
So
in every history book,
you know,
about Africa.
It's a guy that trended around the world before Twitter.
Exactly, you know? So exactly. Yeah. So you, unfortunately, are not only playing a legendary African leader, but you are also now supposed to remind us that forget about Henry Cele.
Yes.
I'm here now.
Yes, yes, yes. That pressure. No, that one, even I haven't. I love Henry. He's my favorite.
For a lot of people, he is still King Shaka.
No, definitely. Yes. And I understand a lot of their perspectives. A lot of nostalgia. I mean, there's certain moments where things hit you in a particular way where you can never re-reach that point. I remember one of the first films I watched in cinema was 101 Dalmatians, and for me, it's still a classic.
Yes.
I can show it to 2000 miles. You know, whatever. I know this movie.
Don't get it.
Yeah, but it's because, you know, the time it hit and what it represented. Yeah. I think when that film came out, there wasn't a lot of imagery of strong black people, you know, in the media, and he wasn't just a fictional character. This guy existed, and he knew it. So that pride and all of that for a lot of the people that are a bit older and got a chance to experience that, I get it. I ain't hate him.
So when you are playing a role like that,
yeah,
do you watch the old series?
No. So
do you go in with zero context of what else has been done before?
I mean, the old series is extremely etched into my mind. It's something I'd watched over and over again growing up.
But then you're watching it for entertainment.
Not for reference. I think what we were also trying to achieve with this one was completely different. In that one, we kind of find Shaka in his complete state. If he was Goku, he's already a Super Saiyan.
Yes.
So in this one, we're just trying to explore the human being behind that and building up to that, and also kind of shifting where that was, because a lot of how that story was told was from a European kind of gaze.
Absolutely.
So from this one, we're trying to look from within out. So a lot of our sources are from, you know, family members of, you know, the royal house on both sides, and a bunch of historians and all of that. So I think ours is a little closer to home and a little closer to
the truth,
who he actually was, as opposed to the myth and the, you know. Yeah,
the man, the myth, the legend.
You know, yes.
Absolutely. So how important, just in terms of, obviously, that's where we're shooting, this is the story we're telling, we have to be authentic. How much pressure are you feeling during all of that? Or for you, it's just, this is a gig, I've got another movie I'm shooting soon.
No, the pressure was extremely massive. I mean, number one, home for me is KZN.
Yes.
So if I mess it up,
you can't go back to Tanzania.
What am I going to do? That's my Christmas is done, you know? And Zulu people are very proud, you know, of who they are, and rightly so. So for me, there was a massive responsibility to get it right. There was a massive responsibility to portray him also as a human being, you know, in a correct kind of manner, which I feel, you know, we got as close to it as we could, you know, yeah.
Tell us about the physicality of the role, getting ready for the role.
Yeah, no, getting ready for the role was a process. So Shaka, as a lot of people know, was 6 years in the making. So there was a stage where I think...
When did you audition?
So I only auditioned the year of it actually being made. Before then, we'd always get things of, okay, the brief is going to come out, boys, get in shape.
So you were warned.
Yeah. So for 2 years, but I think it was kind of like a thing, a rumor going around in the industry of the boys, especially Zulu boys. Hey, it's time for six packs, gents. Let's not mess around. So
now you know why the gym was full.
Yeah. Well, sorry, guys, but Twitter's thanking us. Yeah, but it was a hectic thing. So we were getting like all these like kind of murmurs and things. So I got into shape a few times. Getting into shape is so much work, man. And even just like the maintenance of eating. For me, I'm not generally like a big guy. Sure. So to maintain a massive size, I got to eat so much.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
for me, it just means I don't mind the eating part. It's the cooking.
The prep. I don't know. Meal prep is...
Yeah, it's, you know what I mean?
It's a schlep, yeah.
So that whole thing... over and over again, but once it was kind of locked in, they gave us about 3 months to really hone it in a bit more. But already at that first stage, I felt the pressure from the other chains because the sensors were coming. The temple, I'm like, yo, he's James. And then so when I was given the role, there was the whole debate of the story. They didn't know if they wanted to keep the same actors for, you know, the young part, the old part.
Yeah.
And then I told them that I was willing to do the whole American Party transformation thing. And they were like, okay.
Yeah.
So they were trying to crunch things with the schedule to see if that was feasible and whatnot. And eventually we reached a point where they'd worked it out to be like, okay, we can't do this.
Okay, so for those that don't know what you're talking about, how does that work?
So for the Teenage Saga, the opening parts that you've seen the last two episodes, 8 and 9, when I first arrived, Shaga's a bit smaller,
sure.
And I literally lost weight for that. I went down to about 68 kilos. Mm. And then...
So how does one lose weight fast? What did you do?
You just don't eat and cardio. It's nuts.
So you're running on an empty stomach?
Literally, it's not the vibes. I was so cranky. I was so... Yo, man, it was a very hard time. But I think in that time, it was almost like a fasting process, which helped me really focus.
But it's also back again to discipline.
Yeah.
And I always argue this. If you can control your need for food, you can actually sharpen your mind for a lot of other things.
No, true. I think that for me was one of the things that helped me focus the most.
Yes.
In that process, learning new movements. Stick fighting is not something I really grew up doing.
Sure.
I mean, once or twice with boys messing around, but it wasn't like a religious on a Friday thing.
Yeah. You're not an expert.
Yeah. So we had to learn that from scratch. Obviously, with the spear and shield, that was day one.
Yeah.
So all of those movements and having to not just accomplish the movements, but look like a hero, you know. And the thing is, a lot of people have seen the Jackie Chans and the Tom Cruises. So also in an indirect way, you're competing with John Wick because now I've seen the standard of action is here. Can't just... You know what I mean?
You can't half-ass it.
Yeah. So there was all that pressure as well. As well as also representing Africa, knowing that this is going to go out to the world.
Mm.
And this is what people are going to deem as the standard of African cinema. So to get all of those things right, it was,
Okay, so Teenage Saga, you had to run and not eat and lose all that weight.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you have to get back to...
Hey, so that one, it started... As a dream, it was, I think it was 8 weeks. I'm like, hey, budget is about off for 2 months. But, you know, 6 weeks. Yes, I think it ended up at 5. And 5 wasn't a lot of time to really drastically get a change. But I had a really great trainer, Bruce.
Yeah.
And they also gave us a great nutrition plan. And
So for 5 weeks, then you have to rebulk.
Yes.
And train.
Yes.
Jeez.
So I'm training movements because now when I was skinny, I'm doing the stick fighting. Yes. Now when I'm bulking, it's time for spears because he's grown now.
Yes.
So I had to do that while bulking, while learning lines. Yeah, it was... it was a very tough time. Very, very tough time in life, but very enjoyable as well.
In fact, speaking of enjoyable, I'm sure your lady wasn't complaining about your physique.
Oh, no, she loved it at the time. She was, oh, man. Sometimes, we get into arguments about when's that guy coming back? I'm like, no, I need to take a break for now. For me, I don't wanna risk, because I mean, we train like athletes to be able to maintain our physiques at that level.
Yes.
So an athlete's always prone to injury. I mean, right now Kevin De Bruyne is out because of the hamstring, whatever. So I don't wanna suffer that. And for us, I don't get paid by Man City while I'm injured. I'm on the bench.
You're not getting R1 million a week.
I'm on the bench, yes, you know, yeah. So I can't afford an injury because my body's how I make my money. So right now I'm just on a bit of a break and just slowly working my way back up.
How? So Honey doesn't get the physique anymore?
Hey, man, it comes with 6 meals having to be cooked.
And someone must pay for it.
You know what I mean? So for me, I think we'll both enjoy this break for now.
Sure. We're going to play a quick game. It's called When Last.
Yeah.
When last did you pray?
Yo, when last did I pray?
Yeah. What did you pray for or about?
It's probably for food. May God bless our food. Yeah.
Oh, so you're that guy that just... Let's bless the food at the very least.
Yeah, at the very least. But it's not a habitual thing. I mean, I used to pray a lot, but for me, I don't know. I think God and I are in a good place now, where I don't really pray. I just speak.
Sure,
kind of. Yeah.
When last did you feel gratitude or feel grateful?
Oh, every day, man. Sure. Every day I wake up. I think driving here, I saw one of the billboards, and which is just a reminder. I was like, man, yeah, I'm doing this thing, and you know, it's.
How does it feel seeing yourself all over town?
It's surreal. It's surreal. But now I know that, there's a few things I won't be able to get away with anymore.
Anonymity out the window now.
Yeah. Before I used to, I remember when cops used to stop me, I used to always say it's my dad's car. Now they know that.
They know it's you.
It's me and it's mine. So, yeah.
When last did you drink until you were crawling?
No, I don't do that.
You don't do that?
No.
Your mother and father are not watching this too.
No, they're watching. I don't do that. Me, I drink holy water.
When last did you fear for your life?
When last did I fear for my life?
Yeah. If at all.
That's a good question. I think the day that explosion happened in Joburg, I was like, any time it's tea time. Yeah, we don't even need a war. You can just be buying fruits and it's over.
And you're an actor. Me, I thought when you heard that explosion, you'd think, fuck, what set is this?
Some are too real. We're like, no. I'd know if Avengers were shooting in town.
Sure.
Yeah.
Were you in a physical fight?
When last was I in a physical fight? Probably on set of Shaga.
Like a fight proper or acting? No, I'm talking about proper.
No, we went at it with a gent.
You're lying.
No, but it wasn't, but I don't know if it was a fight, but we had blocking and the man wasn't getting his blocking right and it entered on me. So, I gave some back.
You're lying.
No, but it wasn't deep.
It was deep. It happened.
The way we did it was that it was in the context of the fight. So, it worked for the shot. It worked for the screen. But yeah, for me, I thought he was supposed to miss. He didn't. So I didn't. No, but I, calculated. I wasn't trying to, hurt his career.
When last did you worry about where your next meal is coming from?
COVID actually. COVID on a literal level, it was probably when I was starting out acting, eating Movite breakfast, lunch, and supper. But right now it's been
Movite slaps differently when the sun is setting though. Right?
No, it does. The taints. I used to even buy the banana and the pineapple, and then you switch up the plate and you mix them up in the evening for the fruit cocktail. Hey, times have been tough.
When last did you ask anyone for a selfie? Maybe have a fanboy moment yourself.
I've never.
Yeah.
I'm always shy. I'm always empathetic. Now that I know what it feels like with anxiety sometimes, you try read somebody's energy, but I've never really asked somebody for a picture. I don't like...
You're not that guy.
Well, for me, I know that my face and my body will get captured via my job. So if I want to know what I look like at 21, to look on the CV, find the thing, I'm not really super big on pictures, but yeah.
When last were you anxious about anything?
Oh, I'm anxious all the time. I'm anxious when I leave the house. I think this job makes me anxious. Knowing, now the level of fame that I've kind of acclaimed from this role makes me very anxious because different people look at you for different reasons in different ways, for me, it's just a constant thing. But I've learned to live with that.
And when last did you spoil yourself and how did you do that?
Oh, yeah. It was like 2 weeks ago. I bought a camera. Yeah, because I need to start capturing the content. People start telling me, hey, you're a star now. You can't just shoot with your phones. I'm like, yeah. Okay. Got a camera to shoot and capture, yeah, all the moments.
How about your phone also works most?
No, it does. But, hey, you know, people, they say it must be 4K for documentary years from now. And I'm like, hey, okay.
My phone does 4K. You can use it.
Hey, sure. We don't have the same phone. Like, mine... There's levels to this life. I'll get there. I'll get to the pro.
You're a king, my man.
No. For me, yeah, I'm a king. But hey, for me, I don't know. I find it hard to buy really, really expensive phones. It's like
it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they get lost. Sense. And for me, I also lived in an area where, on a daily basis, I used to witness these phones snatches. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, 35K just like that. And hey,
if this wasn't on contract, I wouldn't have bought it.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
And I don't like contracts. I don't like anything tying me to. I just like in and outs. Yeah, yeah.
In fact, speaking of in and outs and contracts, when last did you feel like maybe I should propose now?
To get married, yeah. Or to propose an idea? I don't know.
An idea.
No, I'd like to get married. I'd like to get married very soon.
Yeah.
But not soon as in like tomorrow. But yeah, at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to... Being a public figure, there's the pressure of having a public... Me, if it were up to me, I'd go to Home Affairs, sign.
So do that.
Go home. Ish. I must have a conversation. I got just...
When last did your folks reprimand you for anything?
It's actually been a while since Black Tax came in. The complaints are few now. But I think during COVID, I was with my mom.
Yeah.
And we lived in the same space, so we...
How did that feel?
Hey, it was hard. It was hard there, yeah. Because, Shay, my father's late, so my mother's living alone a lot of the time. So I felt, you know, in that time of us not really doing much, it'd be great to just kind of be with her. But we clashed, Shay. We had...
What is the biggest thing you guys clashed about?
I don't want to say on this platform.
What's her name?
It wasn't a lady. Fortunately, Empangeni is a small town. Yeah. And there are beautiful women in Empangeni, but the ones in my age range are all married and gone away. So it was just me and my mother.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it was just being in a confined space for too long. She hasn't really let go of that whole, you know, thing of being
your mother.
And me, I'm used to, you know, my own freedom. So that thing of like even coming home at 12, she'd kind of look at me. I'm like, Mom, if you saw what time I come to my apartment in Joburg.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so, but yeah.
And I'm your child, but I'm not a child anymore.
I'm not a child, you know, so, but yeah, it's, yeah.
Losing your dad in 2017.
Yeah,
take us through that journey, because it's a journey.
Yeah.
And you never really finished that journey.
Yeah, it was the hardest thing I think I've experienced so far in my life.
Yeah.
It happened while I was busy. It was like in a year where I was on a roll,
sure.
Like work-wise, booking a bunch of stuff. And I was busy shooting East Tembis, I think, at the time. And then simultaneously with another show in Cape Town that's on Netflix.
Sure.
It was just hard, man. I got the news. I think I was in Pretoria visiting a friend, like just having vibes, you know. But my dad was already sick. He had a heart attack early in the year in the hospital. So I thought the call that I was going to get was that, oh, he's home now, whatever. Because my mom was trying to really be optimistic. But it was hard, man, to have to deal with all that stuff. I didn't have a lot of time to really mourn. I couldn't really take time off work, so kind of went home. They gave me about a week off to you know, kind of arrange the funeral things.
Sure.
But as soon as I got back, it's the 20 pages a day, let's go. And you got all these emotions, you know, boiling up inside you, as well as having to obviously pack those away and be true to the character. It was a very, very challenging time for me. But I'm glad I got through it. I think my family... was very supportive, and my dad was a pastor, so we got a lot of support from the church, which was, really great.
How do you show up for your mom when she loses her life partner?
Oh, man, I still don't know to this day. I still don't know to this day, man. I try, you know, where I can support, try call, speak to her. But it's something you can't fathom, man. That's like,
and it's a void you'll never fill.
Yeah, no, I can't. I mean, she was in love with this guy before I was there.
Exactly.
So, you know, and they go way back. They got memories. They got all these moments. So for me, it's something, it's good to see her.
And how's mom now?
I mean, she's doing better, but I don't know if one can ever fully recover from something like that. But she's definitely doing better. She's living her best life. She's taken over the church now, which is great. And I think they're working on raising funds for a building project now.
I was going to say, so what are we building? Every church has a builder project.
No, there is. But my mother, she sent me the drawings the other day. Yeah. It's actually quite a beautiful thing. But yeah, no, in typical church fashion, you've got to have, you know, a form of real estate in place for people to worship. So they're busy working on that right now.
So how's Pastor Mom going to use her famous son to raise funds?
I don't know.
You know it's coming.
Yeah. That conversation has to, and worse, I'm famous in KZN where we are, so we'll see. I mean, but if people want to come and they're attached, please pull up. But hey, I don't know.
Yeah, where's the church? Maybe we can.
It's gonna be in Pangeni. Sure. In my small town. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to raise funds for things. I'm trying to raise funds for a movie I'm doing now, and it's the first time I'm actually stepping into those spaces, and I realize, man, you're rich people are. Not very easy to appease. It just, you know, but understandably so. People work very hard for their money and their resources, and for them to commit them to anything, it has to obviously make sense to them. So
I'm being shouted at, as you can see.
Ah.
So don't think I'm chasing you out.
No.
Apparently our time is up.
It's that time.
Well, we're going to start putting her picture up.
Yeah.
Every time I talk to her about I'm being shouted at, we must put up her picture so people can see the devil.
I second.
We love you, Kels. My dude.
Yes, sir.
You kick ass.
Thank you very much.
Like I said, I saw you canoeing and I was like, this kid is hot. He kicks ass. He's talented and I'd love to see him do bigger and better things. Mm. And that's exactly what you're doing.
Thank you.
I think the sky, in fact, is not really a limit for you. I'm certain you will be right up there.
Yeah, no, and there's a few other twists now in the story that people don't know.
Yes.
I'm moving into music.
You're a drummer.
Yeah, I've been a drummer longer than...
Yeah, you've been a drummer since you were a kid.
Yeah, then I've been an actor, so it's wild. So I'm moving into the music space as a performing artist, so a lot of people can expect that. Watch out on my social media platforms for that kind of rebrand. Well, I'm not leaving acting.
What kind of music are you making?
I don't want to sound like that artist, but everything. Like, okay. Because I played in bands, I've played from reggae bands to heavy metal to rock to whatever. So I've got ranging from my Skandi, Afro beats, my piano. I'm literally making a song for everybody. So there's no excuse. Everybody should have one of my songs in their playlist at some point.
I add one more song you must do?
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, let's go. I've actually got a similar song.
Boom, boom, boom.
I've got a similar song. I wish I could use that sample, but hey, Multi Choice will fire me.
No, they won't.
No, they'll fight me. Oh, BBC, I don't know.
No.
Clearing samples is always...
No, clear the sample, my dog. Don't you know who the hell you are, dog?
I do, actually. Let me go.
This guy.
That's my next song.
Pick up the phone, dog. Let's go. They'll make it happen.
Let's go.
Lamohang, thank you so much, my dude.
Yes, sir.
And we'll continue to watch your star rise and you wow audiences and kick ass and tell our stories and hopefully one day tell stories on your own terms.
Yes, sir.
With a big budget.
Yes, sir. No, very
to the universe. I hope you're listening.
No, we're coming. We're coming for Avatar. We're going to do African Avatar.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, Lemohang Zipa is about to leave the building. Thank you for tuning in to Wow, What a Week. Hopefully you've picked up inspiration in some way from today's show. So here's wishing you some intelligent exploration and a wow week ahead. Shout out to all of our guests. Shout out to AMP Studios for hosting us, Africa Podcast Network, Pezulu Works for the cinematography, our audio imaging engineer, Otis The Flow Fraser, Lemohang Zipa, our creative director, Krivesh Mohan, and our show producer, Kelezo Modisa King. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Have a great week in spite of yourselves.